Hey, this is Daniel Garber, the movies for CulturalMining.com and CIUT 89.5 FM. So movies sometimes seem like an undifferentiated mass of formless entertainment flickering on a big screen. Each movie like the one you saw last week and all of them disconnected from daily life, from the real world. But you know what? It's worth it to take a step back and view films like, say, an alien might from outer space or someone 10 years in the future just came back in a time machine. Because with a bit of a distance, you start to notice themes and trends from one movie to the next. It's not all the same. Right now, at the back of everyone's minds is the economic crisis, the unraveling of businesses and workplaces, the lack of job security, and the fear of unanticipated change. So this week, I'm looking at three very different movies, a comedy, a documentary, and a Japanese comedy drama about workplaces facing crises that may be on the verge of falling apart. First, Horrible Bosses, directed by Seth Gordon. Okay, three friends, Nick, Dale, and Kurt, all hate their bosses. Squeaky voice Dale, played by Charlie Day, is a dental hygienist who's sexually harassed by his nymphomaniacal dentist boss, who wants to have sex with him over the sedated bodies of her patients. Nick, played by Jason Bateman, works in sales at a big company and has to kiss ass to get his sadistic boss to give him the vice president position. And there's Kurt, played by Jason Sudeikis, whose boss's son is trying to run the business into the ground so he can skim off the profits to pay for his coke habit. So at a point of desperation, the three of them come up with a twisted plan to kill each other's bosses. Hilarity ensues. Well, not exactly. It's a bit funny, but not that funny. It's not slapstick, not screwball, not sketch comedy, sort of a combination of all three. What's really weird about this movie is that Dale, Kurt, and Nick are played by TV comedy actors, while the bosses and side parts are played by much more famous movie stars like Kevin Spacey, Jamie Foxx, and Colin Farrell. It sort of works, but has a bit of a movie disconnect feeling to it. Jason Bateman is okay, but his part isn't that funny, and Jason Sudeikis comes across as a low rent Will Ferrell, if such a thing is possible. Aside from a very funny scene involving cocaine, only Jennifer Aniston as the slutty dentist and Charlie Day get the comedy just right. And the script is a little bit condescending. They'll tell a joke, which is funny, and then they'll explain the joke, which is not very funny for the viewers that didn't get it the first time. So this movie isn't horrible, but I wouldn't call it a boss pick either. Meanwhile, another business is going through huge changes and a new documentary looks at what's happening to it. Page One, A Year Inside the New York Times, is directed by Andrew Rossi. So the New York Times is at a point of crisis. With the economic meltdown, circulation didn't drop, but advertising did by some 30%. Newspapers, some more than 100 years old, are folding across the U.S. Some people say that print is dead. And the movie begins with a haunting image of copies of the New York Times just hanging there upside down in the printing queue like so many slaughtered and plucked chickens in an abattoir. And it faces more problems. Judith Miller and other Times journalists served as government lap poodles, printing dubious articles on Saddam Hussein's mythical weapons of mass destruction, which were later quoted by Bush's government as justification for their invasion. After all, the Times printed it, it must be true. And online sources like WikiLeaks and Gawker are usurping the first stage in the news cycle, which used to be the undisputed domain of the press, especially the front page of the New York Times. And many people get their news now from aggregate sites like Huffington Post that poach stories from the real journalists who write them and investigate them. This is a very interesting, well-made documentary. It humanizes something as mammoth as the New York Times by concentrating on its reporters, editors, and columnists. Especially the very fascinating and entertaining former crackhead David Carr, an opinionated and witty, dedicated champion of the newspaper who cusses like a sailor, but he puts the dot-com weenies in their place. And in another part of the world, at another printing press, is this new movie out of Japan called Hospitalité, directed by Koji Fukuda. Kobayashi, his beautiful wife Natsuki, and their little daughter live a placid existence above the tiny printing company started by his late father. Their home is in an old section of Tokyo where their biggest worry is finding an escaped parakeet and fending off the local NIMBY club, neighborhood watch, a group made of local gossips who warn about dangerous people like the homeless and the dreaded gaikokujin, foreigners. But suddenly their lives are turned upside down by the arrival of Kagawa, an old school friend. Kagawa starts fixing up the printing press and he moves into their house. But soon all the family secrets start coming to light and skeletons fall out of the dusty closets right and left. Who's that sketchy man Natsuki was seen with? Whatever happened to Kobayashi's ex-girlfriend, and how did such a plain man marry such a pretty woman? When Kagawa's wife, a sexually charged blonde dance instructor from Brazil, or possibly Bosnia, arrives too, the norms of the house are turned upside down, culminating with some more unexpected guests and a surprising birthday party. Hospitality is a good comic family drama about the very real shifts in everyday life in contemporary Japan. Horrible Bosses and Page One are playing now, and Hospitality is playing once only at the Japanese-Canadian Cultural Center next Thursday as part of Shin Sedai Film Festival. Look online at shinsedai-toronto.com. Also opening today at the Royal is Blank City, a great documentary about no-wave cinema that captures the short, explosive period of wide open but underground filmmaking in 1980s New York City. Check your local listings. And also free tonight is an outdoor screening of Checkpoint Rock Songs from Palestine at the Christie Pitts Park on Bloor and Christie at 9 p.m. at sunset. For more information, go to tpff.ca. That's the Toronto Palestine Film Festival. Stay tuned. We're giving away two pairs of deluxe passes to the Shin Sedai Festival that will allow the two winners and their partners to attend all of the movie screenings from July 21st through the 24th. That's a $210 value. Keep listening and find out how to win. This is Daniel Garber, the movies, for CIUT 89.5 FM and on my website, culturalmining.com.